Greetings, church. Good morning, church. That's good. Greetings, good morning. Okay, I know you like good morning. When I was a kid, my mother used to teach us to pray before going to sleep. One simple prayer, and in my language, Ingenga Hunamudul Nasiaksu Lem Karing in ya Mihisefin Sun ya Hofo Nasiaksu Lem is Gani. Amen. You probably have heard the song before in your own language. Here I am, Lord. Should death come into me in the night, take my soul. And when I was afraid of the dark, and in the islands, that's something we were afraid of, the dark and the forest. And so my mother said, just say a few words. Jesus is with me and I'm not afraid. And so that's what I used to say in front of the forest in Koshrai. And so it seems to really help. Folks, as Christians, we all pray, right? As Christians, we all pray, right? Right. That's good. And sometimes the prayers are deeply moved due to our situations. And maybe sometimes just slight prayers, not too deep. In my own life, I had to pray, I think, 4 times really seriously. I pray a lot. I'm sure you do. But 4 times, I almost die. First time, while in college at UOG, almost drowned in a channel in Mariso. And so I said, Lord, just take me. Let them find my body and let them send my body to Koshrai. Thank God I was safe. Second one, on my way to Emmitsburg, Maryland, going for a fire, ER training, I almost got killed by the taxi driver. He wasn't a taxi driver. And, of course, about 2 times at GMH, I was just begging, Lord, help me, spare me, and all those. I will do this because of my situation. So I had to pray really hard. And, of course, numerous times I asked God for my own personal needs and things like that. You know what I mean. Folks, there are many instances in the Bible where people prayed. Of course, we're talking about the Bible, so people were praying in the Bible. Hannah prayed and wept to the Lord at the temple for a child. And where is my child? And so God blessed Anna with a baby boy, Samuel. So she was blessed for that. And in 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat was very worried, asked the army of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir were approaching Judah on all corners. So Jehoshaphat asked for a fast for all of Judah and just said, Dear Lord, I am surrounded by these mighty armies from all over. Please help me. From the youngest to the oldest, they were praying to God. And praise the Lord, those massive armies were killing each other. They just slew each other, not even a bloodshed on the Judah population. It was just an amazing thing. And Jonah prayed in the belly of a big fish when he decided to run from God. He was just, where is my other stuff here? Oh, That all these seaweed churches, Jesus, oh not Jesus, Lord. Oh, and one octopus church is right down there. Lord, help me. I'm inside this well on the bottom of the sea. I will do whatever you want me to do. And so the Lord, after big fish threw him on ashore, that's when he went to Nineveh and do his ministry. Folks, I can go on and on stories of the Bible, stories of our time, of great missionaries of old, to our own lives. But you know what it takes. We need to pray. We need to pray in one way or the other. Well, this is 2012. We have all this internet. We need to pray. The other day, I was at Price Elementary School. Decided to go have lunch with Jemima. She's schedule was later, so I decided to go to Jemima. And I said, Jemima, let's pray. And so I closed my hands in front of hundreds of these students, and they were like, he's praying. And it looks like I was a weird old man praying. And, but except for maybe two boys, they seem to know that it's a good thing to pray. May I ask you folks, you know, young kids, the reason why I'm having you sit here is I want to ask you. I mean, we can go and talk about prayer here and there, but I'd like to talk to our young people. Do we need to pray? Why do we have to pray? Because, okay, it's a good thing. What do you usually pray for when you pray? Some toys, something like that. Sorry, I don't want to, maybe I should have warned you last week, huh? To pray before you come. So anyway, we should teach our kids to pray. We shouldn't wait until they're old enough to pray. And I'm not saying they're not praying at home. I'm just saying that it's a good thing for our kids to see us pray. And, you know, every time I see a story in the Bible like Jehoshaphat, it really moved me. It really moved me for the fact that the whole family prayed. From the youngest to the oldest, women and children, everyone prayed. And I have a lot of points to say, but I just want to bring these up front now. When you pray at home, don't just pray yourself only. There are times we should pray alone. If you have a family, have everyone pray with you. Okay, so that way the kids will see you. Unfortunately, according to a recent study, many Christians spend 1 hour of praying every week. Just 1 hour. 24 hours a day times 7. What? A lot. But we only, how many hours? 100 some. But we only spend 1 hour of praying. That is kind of sad. Prayer is very critical in the life of Christians. Maybe you said, duh. But I'm just saying, that's a way to connect to God. And yet, many of us, like myself, do not see that as a need. And by the way, in the service today, you're welcome to say amen. That's fine. It's okay to say praise the Lord. That's okay. Okay? Now, let us turn to God in prayer for guidance. Let's pray now. Ask God to help us. Dear Heavenly Father, may your Spirit help me and help us to understand more about who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go to the reading for today, and it's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to verse 21. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. And because Brother Doug, and I really appreciate Brother Doug helping out, he has put that thing on the screen. You don't have to look down, just look up the screen as I read. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And you know, this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, folks, Paul was in prison in Rome, probably under house arrest, when he was sharing these words. Well, while in prison, he wrote four epistles: Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, and the Philippians, the book to the Philippians. Each book has a special message to his audiences. But Paul's prison epistles' main themes were Christ holds everything together. That is my theme when I look at it. Which book is that? Colossians. And forgiveness and restoration, Philemon. And Philippians, one of my most favorite books in the Bible. And if you know this passage, read with me. Okay? That's Philippians. Anyway, Philippians is rejoice in the Lord regardless of the circumstances you are in. So let's read together if you memorize Philippians 4, 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Okay, thank you. And Ephesians, what was his main theme for the book of Ephesians? The grace of God and the unity of the church. That's the book we're looking at today. And if you remember or memorize Ephesians 2, 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. All right, that's good. Now, these books easily show how much Paul felt about God's blessing in terms of grace in his own life. In verse 12 to 13 of chapter 3, we look at these couple of verses. Paul wanted to remind the Ephesians not to feel discouraged because of his imprisonment in Ephesus. Now, folks, Christians and everyone in history and all over the place face many challenges or situations in their lives, such as disappointments, pain. There are times when we have plenty. There are times when we don't have. There are a lot of times when we have strained relationships. Solomon expressed well when he said, there is a time for everything under the sun. After Adam and Eve sinned, sorrow followed. But as we seek Jesus, we can live joyfully. As Dr. Dave Owen said last week, if we walk with God, we can beat that curse of being just live and die. And we can live joyfully. Folks, let me ask you, when was the last time, and I was talking about prayer, my own prayer, the Bible's prayer, when was the last time you were actually on your knees? You just ask God. You don't have to or be on your knees, but let's just say you really have to pray. I would like to hear that from you folks. And throughout the message today, I would like you to help me. You are part of the message. So I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, share with us a time, long time ago, or now where you just ask God to help you or ask someone else for help. So this time I'm going to open up to anyone. I think Nancy already beat all of you. She just raised up her hand. So Nancy, please share. Praise the Lord, sister. We'll be praying for you. And like I was saying, it doesn't matter what you have. It's good to pray. And it's good to let God know, even if you complained. David in the Bible did a lot of complaining. And yet he's the man after God's own heart. Anyone else has a prayer recently or a long time where you said, you know what, I have to share with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And yes, brother there. You want to stand up? All right. Go ahead. Thank you very much, Brother Mike. It's good to know God also provides. He provides our jobs. He provides our families. And so thank you to you folks, Nancy and Mike, for sharing. God is good. Amen? Amen? All the time. No, going back to Paul's prayer. Paul's prayer for the Christians in Ephesus came at a time when they needed encouragement. Especially from a dedicated Christian like Paul, who was concerned. I was sharing that at the beginning or the end of chapter 2, he was there with them. And so he had to come and offer this prayer because they were being left out. And so it came at the right time. Now, Ephesus was a busy port city with lots and lots, a lot of temptations. There's a lot of temptations in Ephesus, such as idol worships. And they were basically worshiping idols like bulls and like that. And he was supposed to be running, but he's just sitting there. But sorceries, and they were sinning, infertility practices. And there was a lot of commerce at that time. And so there's illegal practices. There's a lot of crafts. Remember when Paul tried to drive away the demons also in the lady there? And so the Ephesians needed some encouragement from Paul to lift their spirits. And we also need encouragement from each other all the time. My topic today is very clear and straightforward. Paul's prayer for the church, actually for the church in Ephesus, but it's really for all Christians and our church. And in today's message, I hope we will learn some valuable lessons from Paul's prayer to this church in Ephesus, which we can apply to this church and our own personal lives. The first thing I hope you realize that this prayer is very practical today. And folks, I usually do not like or use first letters for my guide as for a teaching one, because sometimes it can be abused. But I just can't help because it's letter P's all over the map. Yeah, and I'm not even starting. And it's Paul writing in prison, praying for prayer in prison. That's not even my P. And so let's look at my three P's for our teaching guide this morning. The first P that I have is for Paul's perception, his view about prayer. Okay? And what was his first view is he had a reason for his prayer. And what was his reason? It's in verse 14 and 15. Paul said, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth derives its name." Now, Paul had a very strong reason for praying for the Ephesians. For Paul, it was that reason he spoke in, first time he spoke about that reason in chapter 1, verse 15, when he was referring to verse 14 about Jesus being a deposit for our salvation. That is a very good reason. That's the first reason Paul had. And then the second reason is in chapter 2, verse 8. It was the grace that non-Israelites were saved. That is grace. And chapter 3, verse 6, this mystery that through the gospel, Gentiles and heirs together with Israel. That is still grace, but he was referring to that. That's when he said, for this reason, that's what he was saying. You know, folks, original, as you know, the Jews were selected as God's own people. But Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 11 about the crafting of non-Abrahamic people into God. And we are crafted through Christ. We're crafted into that family. So that is a great blessing. Now, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians reflected a clear picture on why Jesus came and died. And so that's why we have to see that. He also sees his gift as a preacher to talk about disgrace to the Ephesians. He challenged the church through the message of grace. And you know what I noticed in terms of his reason? Paul was praying to the Ephesians, but more importantly, he was praying for others, not himself. Okay? How about you and I? Are we always praying for ourselves? Are we always praying for us to be benefited from this grace? Or we're also praying for others? Whether you're pleading for something like Nancy's or Brother Mike or myself, Nudge Brown and Marizo, we should also be praying for others when God has placed something for you to pray about. Okay? So it's not really about you and I. It's about others as well. And that's why it was a great reason and a clear reason for Paul. It was for other folks, not just himself. Now, the next area I want us to also notice in Paul's perception about prayer is that Paul knew who he was praying to. Here Paul said, I kneel before the Father. So it was clear that, yes, Paul was very excited about sharing this grace, but he was praying to his Father. He was praying to God. Okay? Now, in Greek, father is pater, as is in a family, it's a parent, whether it's a mother or father, we can use it that way. Okay? And Jesus even taught us to say, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So even Jesus was praying to God the Father. Okay? Let me pause and ask you, folks. Now, Paul knew that he was praying to God, and he was praying for the non-Jewish people. He was praying for others, as I was saying. There is also a problem that maybe we may experience, not only that we're praying for ourselves, but sometimes we're only praying for our own kind, our own race. And so it's important that we're praying for people of different affiliation. Okay? Now, the last perception I have in terms of his perception is how he prayed. Paul prayed with humbleness that he was kneeling in reference to God. In Acts 20, verse 36, and this is when Paul was leaving through his last visit to Ephesus, the passage states, when Paul said this, or when he said this, he knelt down with them and prayed. And again in chapter 20, verse 5, all the disciples with their wives and children accompanied us out of the city, and on the beach we all knelt and prayed. Now we can talk about praying a lot, but we should also have an attitude of humbleness when we come to the Lord in prayer. You know, I see, before I get there, Psalm 95 says, come to us, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So let's remember that we are standing in front of a mighty God, or when we ask for God to help us. Now I see some old pictures of some church of old where people were actually kneeling and praying to God. But I don't see that too much nowadays, where people in church or at home actually kneeling and praying. Definitely we have to yield our hearts to God, but it's a good practice for us to do, to kneel and ask God to help us in our time of need. So Paul was very clear about what he was praying for. And so my second P, moving on, is P's for petition. What was Paul praying for in particular? You know, in our church, we have a time and we skip our prayer time. We'll be praying later. But in our prayer time, we have our petition to pray to God. And so Paul's first petition for Christ to provide inner strength. I mean, that is a very good prayer request from Paul. It says here in verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being. Basically, Paul was asking the Christians in Ephesus to grow stronger in their souls. Now, there are two main power that Paul is referring to. The first type of power is that the one to strengthen the Ephesians. And the second one is the power that is attained through that process. And in Greek, it's called dunamis. Get the term dunamis. It's the same year used here today for dynamite. Okay? But it should not mean that we Christians should become more explosive or destroying. But basically, it means that we should gain the strength to be active, to be seeking the Lord in our ways. Okay? Now, when you continue to seek Christ with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your might, then this inner strength will make you, which moves us to our second petition, Christ to be at home in your heart. Verse 17a says, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. But folks, I thought that when I received Jesus in my heart, Christ is there. That is true. Okay? But we have to grow. Some of our old being have never gone away, folks. Now let's talk about this inner being, which I think I'm going to spend a little bit more time on. It goes like this. When you first were born through the Romans Road, or maybe through a process where you come to church, I know some folks were watching TV by some great evangelists, and they just accept the Lord that way. But once we were saved, we have to grow because we still have our old selves, folks. We have to surrender everything in our life to Jesus. When he first came into our lives, we still have some rooms that we have not surrendered. Now, lately, my children have been informing me that I have a problem. I have become an angry man around the house. And you know what? I appreciate that them sharing. Yes, I may be a Christian for 30 years, but that's one area that I need to still work with. And you know, sometimes we might have take care of that room before, but somehow situation changed and maybe we have created another room per se in our lives. And so we need to keep opening the doors of our hearts so Jesus can work with us. Okay? Folks, some Christians have proclaimed that they have been saved, but have not experienced fully because some of the parts are not unconfessed in their lives. Some part of us drink milk, which Paul said, and I would say, not Paul, some of us still want to eat, or some of us already started eating taro. You know? I think that's great that we can eat hard food. Okay? The good and the bad will continue to be fighting inside us. Just as the body needs physical food, we also need spiritual food to feed our bodies. Last year, I was sick for 3 months. And I ask prayer from you folks. I had this bad bug that I just couldn't shake off. I was sick and couldn't work for 3 weeks. And so I had to take a lot of supplements, take a lot of antibiotics, and drink a lot of water and rest a lot. And so I feel much better. So for us Christians, we need to feed our bodies with spiritual food. And my last petition is to have a strong Christian foundation, for Christ to be your foundation. Verse 17b said, I pray that you being rooted and established in love, when your faith grows stronger, Christ become a strong foundation. It should be a strong foundation in your life. Now, being rooted is an agriculture term, which means that you have to plant the seed or plant the seedlings, water the plant, take your time, and the plant will grow deep roots into the ground. Now, I like what Jeremiah 17:5 said about being rooted in Christ, or in God, rather. This is what the Lord says, 17:5-8. Jeremiah 17:5-8. This is what the Lord has says. Cursed is the man who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a brush in the wasteland. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him, that is the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends its roots by the stream. It does not fear when it comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So we see a blessing and a curse. Blessing if we seek God and planted our roots in Christ. So once you receive the Lord, you and I need to grow deep in God into our root system. And my last P for today is, when you grow in the Lord, have God or Christ as your foundation, then you will be able to understand the immensity of God's love, verse 18, so that you may have the power to together with all the other saints and be able to grasp how wide, how long, how deep, and how wide is the love, how high is the love of Christ. What we have here, folks, is very amazing. In order to reach this level of understanding or this unfathomable love, we have to gradually move from our hearts out into the community. Through God's election and grace, through our salvation and the work of the Spirit, we may grow deeper in the Lord. I like what Pan Pacific said. We grow roots, they build branches. You know, we can do a lot of church doing, a lot of things, but if we don't grow our roots in God, I think a lot of time it's just, I shouldn't use the word wasteful, but a lot of times what we need is to grow our roots in Christ. And let me share also, and it's been kind of deep in my heart lately. You know, before we were saved, we are probably rooted in some of the habitual sins that were passed through us from generation to generation. And some of us have developed some pretty serious sinful habits before we were saved. And so it takes a lot of rooting with Christ for us to continue to uproot those old challenges. By coming to church is very important and sharing with other Christians. So it takes time with Jesus for us to grow. Now at this time, if you haven't seen how you should grow, I'm in trouble. If you have not moved with me up to this point, because it takes a lot of gradual growth in Jesus for you to realize the love of God. And the last point I have is praise. My last P is praise. And Paul says in verse 20, God is more than able to provide what we ask for, as he knows more than we ever imagine. Folks, when we pray and ask God, he knows what our needs are. He will provide more than what we ask for. Finally, brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus prayed on numerous occasions in the Bible. He prayed for miracles, for healing. He brought people from the dead to be alive. He prayed for forgiveness. He stopped the raging sea. And in the final hour, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And then finally, he said, into your hands I give my life. And right now, Jesus is still praying for us in heaven. About 6 years ago, speaking about church, I was privileged with Pastor Neil in LA as part of the classes meeting. And we were staying with, I don't know if you know Jack and Agatha Flint. These are folks that used to be part of our church. They treated us so well. We were getting a little spoil from her. Is that Thai or Cambodian? Is she Thai? Yeah. Dutch. Indonesian. They had the best chicken and yellow rice. And you know what? It's not the food I'm talking about only, but the mere fact that they're still talking about faith church. They're still talking about how we as a church meant a lot to them. And based on Auntie Myra, they still send her greeting cards, Christmas cards every year. And you know what? Throughout the years, we receive cards from old friends. I don't really want to mention name, but there's a lot of folks who still remember our anniversary, our birthdays. And you know what? These folks have spent time in God and become a family of God. Of course, they didn't provide food only, they provide lodging and everything. And you know what? I saved this for the last minute because if I can't finish the sentence, at least I'm doing my landing. Last January, when my father passed away, you folks mean a lot to me. When you as a church provide your prayers and you provide your help, we had a lot of families who helped, but there is nothing like a fair church family where there's clean concern. And it's just, we have challenges, but I'm just saying that it really meant a lot to us. And so when Paul was writing to Ephesus, he's talking about this kind of family where we all seek each other's out, where we belong to God. And God is our Father. Okay? And so thank you again for your help during those time. And I know that you folks appreciate this church. I really have a hard time understanding why people leave a church to look for another church. When, in fact, they can enjoy the company and the love of a church. Folks, the reason why my mother's prayer, the one that I was singing earlier, stuck to me and meant a lot to me is because the prayers were from her. And the prayers were from someone I knew that was close to God. And most of all, she was praying to God. I'm sure that you have folks that pray for you throughout the years, maybe your own families. But you know, as a church, we should continue to seek one another and help each other. And as Brother Jeff was saying earlier, we didn't have a prayer during our normal prayer time. I decided to save it for this time. It's because of prayer, we're going to be praying as a church. And remember when I was saying that folks don't really kneel and pray? I would say, if you don't mind, if you're able, kneel when we close in prayer. Brother Wilfred will be praying there. Brother Kim will be praying here. Brother Charlie. They'll be praying general prayers. And in your own seats, in your own heart, you can bow. I will be kneeling and praying to our closing time. And at the end, I will close with the closing prayer. And from there, we'll do our closing song and benediction. So, folks, why don't we pray together? So, you can pray and kneel on where you're at and just pray for anything in your heart. And, Brother Charlie, if you don't mind standing in front of your group there. And you can kneel and pray, and I'll start. and then follow. Let's pray. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for the story of Paul. Thank you so much for revealing to us that we should seek you with all our hearts for us to see the immensity of your love for us. Lord, I just want to thank you for this family, Faith Church family. May we continue to seek individually with you and seek you corporately as a church. Thank you in Jesus' name I pray.